Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Rude Simon as we pick up at Luke chapter 7, verse 47. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Simon was a poor host. He did not show to Jesus any of these common courtesies. He did not wash Jesus' feet. He did not anoint his head with oil, nor did he kiss him when he entered the house. But this woman washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, kissed his feet continually, and anointed his feet with ointment. And here's Simon the Pharisee sitting there in his pompous, self-righteous attitude, said, if he were really a prophet, he wouldn't allow this to go on. He'd know what kind of a woman she was. And he wouldn't allow her to touch her. You see, Simon wouldn't touch that woman because if you touched her, you'd be considered unclean. She was a sinner. Don't let that woman touch me. I'm glad Jesus is touchable, even by sinners. I appreciate that so much. I can reach out and touch the Lord no matter how badly I fail. He's always within reach. And so Jesus gave to Simon this little parable about the fellow who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence and the other 50 pence. He forgave both their debts. Which one loves him the more? The one forgiven the most. And so Jesus said, yes, that's right. And this woman, because her sins are many and are forgiven, loves me the most. And so he said to the woman, and I'm sure this was just to get Simon's goat. He said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And it had the reaction I'm sure he was expecting. And they that were sitting at dinner with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Oh, isn't this interesting? Jesus is bringing to man a whole new relationship to God, a relationship that is based on faith and salvation through faith. And here this woman's faith puts her a step ahead and already into that new dispensation of God's grace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Always the result of having our sins forgiven. And it came to pass afterward, as he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, she was from Magdala. And because there were many Marys, she was identified as Mary of Magdala or Mary Magdalene. Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth because there were many people by that name also. And so to identify who he was, they referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth, common Jewish name, Joshua in Hebrew, and it was a common name for the little boys. And so to identify him, it was Jesus of Nazareth. Here it is, Mary of Magdala, and so they called her Magdalene because that was the city from which she came. And Jesus had cast seven devils out of her. And Joanna, who was the wife of Cusa, who was Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. In other words, these women that were following with the company of disciples were taking care of their needs with their substance. They were the ones that were providing the food and taking care of those needs. I'm certain that in heaven, these women who sacrificed to minister to the physical needs of Jesus during his lifetime have a very special place up there, and I imagine that they are very special women. We don't really hear much about them. Not much is said concerning them. But they no doubt are very special women and have a very prominent place there in the kingdom of heaven, and it will be interesting to meet them and to get their side of the story. Because if they're anything like my wife, they can tell you so many more details of the color of their hair and eyes and what they wore than I can ever remember. And so the fact that we have men gospel writers, we've lost a lot of details that these women will no doubt be able to fill in for us, and it will be interesting talking to them indeed. Now, Jesus went about every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Paul the Apostle, as he was talking to the elders of Ephesus there on the beach at Miletus, and knowing that this is the last time that he will probably see them, he said, "You know how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." He's talking about his ministry there in Ephesus. And he said, "In my ministry to you, I showed you and I taught you." There is much that we can learn from a lecture, but there is much that cannot be learned from a lecture, but must be learned by observation, as a person's life demonstrates what he preaches. Many times, what a person preaches is totally negated because the life that he lives is not in harmony with the message that he preaches. Jesus both preached and showed. He demonstrated the message of the kingdom that he was preaching to these people. The message of the kingdom of God was the central message that Jesus had to declare to man. Many people are confused about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and there are some people who have tried to make a difference and make spiritual kind of meanings and mysteries and, you know, these little, has God revealed to you, brother, bit, you know, of the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. But the terms are used synonymously. Matthew usually refers to the kingdom of heaven and the other gospel writers to the kingdom of God. But you can cross-reference the scriptures and find that they are used synonymously. The kingdom of heaven usually refers to the kingdom of God when it has come to the earth. But it is all under the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is that kingdom where God is king. So when Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is among you," he was showing to them the kingdom. He lived a life in complete submission to the Father. He showed him what it was like to live a life in submission to the Father. He said, "I do always those things that please the Father." And he showed them what kind of a life it was when you lived in complete submission to the Father as King. And when you live in submission to God as the King of your life, you are living in the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. And there's no sense of trying to make some deep spiritual mystery out of it. It's an extremely simple thing, so simple that a child can understand it, and so simple that unless you become as a child, you can't enter it. You've got to get rid of all this hocus-pocus mystery, spiritualizing of stuff, because Jesus said it isn't that. It isn't some kind of a difficult mystery only revealed to some initiates. It is something that a child can perceive and understand, and you've got to come as a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just as a little child says, "I love God and I want to serve God." Bowing before God, acknowledging God as the king of your life, you've become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's all it takes. obedience to God, submission to God, and you are a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus preached to the people of the kingdom of God. It was something that was central in their minds. They were anticipating God's establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth at that time, especially the disciples. They felt that when the Messiah came, he was going to immediately establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. But that was not God's plan. But you remember that this was so important to them that even when Jesus is saying to them, "Now I'm going to go away, but I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that he may abide with you forever. And now wait in Jerusalem until you receive this promise from the Father, which you have heard of me. For John baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit in a few days." And they said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Is this when you're going to set up the kingdom of God?" Jesus said, "Look, it is not given to you, know the times and the seasons that are appointed unto the Father, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." They were anxious for the kingdom of God, and rightly so, because they were living in miserable conditions as far as the world itself was concerned. We should also be anxious for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, there are times when I groan and cry for the kingdom of God. When I read the statistics of Orange County, the abused children for the month of September, and I read of all of these things that are happening to these little children, I'll tell you, my heart yearns for the kingdom of God. It cries for the kingdom of God to be established. How long, God, how long are you going to allow man to go on in his rebellion against your kingdom? How long, God, will you forbear? And it is my prayer that the Lord come quickly and establish his kingdom. For I don't think that mankind can go on much longer. I don't think mankind will survive much longer. I think that it is imperative that God establish his kingdom soon. And as I look at the world today, my heart yearns for the kingdom of God. As I look at my little grandchildren, and I think of the world that they are growing up in, I'll tell you, my heart cries out to God. I don't know what I would do should some sex pervert touch one of my grandchildren. I cry, "Oh God, come quickly. Things can't go on much longer." But Jesus was preaching the good tidings, the glad tidings of the kingdom. And it is glad tidings. A glorious day is coming. A day when man will live with peace with one another. A day when God will reign. A day when we will see the earth as God created it and intended it to be for all time, where the deserts are blossoming like a rose, and there are streams in the deserts and rivers in dry places, and the parched ground is become a pool, and the blind will see, and the lame will walk and leap as the deer and all. These were the things that Jesus was showing as he was healing the sick, as he was feeding the multitudes. He was showing the things that would transpire in the kingdom age. And he proclaimed how beautiful and glorious it is when a man lives in obedience to God and in submission to God. And so he preached and he showed the kingdom of God. When Jesus was born and the angel announced to the shepherds, he announced it with these words, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The shepherd was proclaiming the kingdom of God. The king is born. He has come. He's over in Bethlehem. He's lying in a manger. You'll find him there swaddled. And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They were proclaiming the conditions of the kingdom. But the kingdom was to be brought by this child whom the angels said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." And to those who have found Jesus as their Lord, they have entered into the kingdom of God. And you can begin to enjoy even now a part of the benefits of the kingdom. As God fills your heart with his love and with his peace. Now there were many people that were gathered together, and they came to him out of every city, and he spoke to them by a parable. And he said, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and it sprang up, and it bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear.'" Jesus was always saying that, and in his messages to the seven churches, he repeated it to each church. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." How important that we have an ear to hear what God is seeking to say. I'm constantly praying, "God, give me an ear to hear what you have to say." And that is more than just hearing, it's understanding what God's message to man today would be. God, what is your message to me? What are you saying to me? What are you wanting to say to me? God, give me understanding. Give me an ear to hear. For I realize that unless the Spirit does teach me, I can't learn. No matter how intelligent I might be, I cannot learn spiritual truths apart from the Spirit of God opening my heart to understand and to receive. For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. God, give me an ear to hear. And so the disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others it is spoken in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So we realize that the word of God falls on different types of soil, or there is a different reception in the hearts of people to the word of God. And the Lord is sort of illustrating the four types of people upon whom the word of God falls. Now, these are those that are by the wayside. They are those that hear the word of God, and then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Immediately, there's just nothing. There's no penetration. The word comes, but immediately Satan snatches it away, and it's as though they had never heard. They that are on the rock are they which, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. They have a great emotional experience. But these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns is that which, when they have heard, or those when they have heard, go forth, and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection or completion. There's no real fruit that comes from their life. They hear, they receive, but the fruitfulness is choked out by pleasures, riches, cares. But that which fell on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. Now, as you look at your own life and examine yourself, on what kind of soil has the word of God fallen in your life? In which of the four categories would you place yourself? A, B, C, or D? And it might be good to take a moment with an honest look at your own heart. Am I bringing forth fruit unto completion? If not, why not? Have I allowed cares, riches, desire for pleasure to choke out my fruitfulness? On what kind of a soil has the word of God fallen in your own heart? God help us that we might bring forth fruit with patience. Be not weary in well-doing in due season. You will reap if you faint not.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 7 through 8 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord keep His hand upon your life. May He cause you to realize that His righteous principles will always prevail, that when God speaks, it can be accounted as done. And when God establishes a principle, it cannot be violated. And thus may you live in that place where God can bless you as He desires to bless you. May you keep yourself in the love of God as you walk in fellowship with Him this week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I'd like to tell you about a book written by Chuck Smith entitled Living Water. In this book, Pastor Chuck explains how God has the power to change your life through His Holy Spirit. This book will help you to understand how the Holy Spirit works in your life, covering such topics as, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What are the gifts of the Spirit? And how should I respond? It's Pastor Chuck's desire that by God's grace and through this book, the Lord will develop in you a hunger and thirst for the things after the Spirit that will help you come into a deeper and personal relationship with Him, transforming your life. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Living Water by Chuck Smith. Or if you'd like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. That's 800-272-9673.